Thank you very much, Glenn and Yolanda. You caught me by surprise. I was waiting for your little outro music and it didn't come. I've gotten used to hearing that before I take the mic. You ran out of time. Okay. Well, I was sitting here listening, but when I listen, I often don't look at the screen. I have my eyes closed, or sometimes I'm just kind of looking at nothing, like looking at the wall. You know, so my eyes are not engaged often when I listen. And so since I didn't hear your outro, I didn't know it was time. So hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to NTI. This is our NTI discussion group. And tonight, we are going to begin with NTI Matthew chapter 9, which is on page 21 of NTI. So NTI Matthew chapter 9, page 21. And what I will do is get us started by reading the first paragraph. And the first paragraph is marked verses 1 to 8. And it starts with three of my favorite words in NTI. I'll just say that before I start talking. It starts with, "Listen to me." And I don't really know why, but I love it every time Holy Spirit says, "Listen to me." I love it. I don't know why. You know, it just kind of turns my heart, opens my heart, turns me on every time I hear it. And of course, I listen. So I love it when Holy Spirit uses those words. So here we go. Listen to me. The authority within the heart is the authority of God. Do not be confused. Your will is not the same as God's. But when you lay your will aside and walk with God, you will know that you are one with him. Now, gosh, if you were just listening to Glenn and Yolanda, this may sound a little confusing, because at least the way I heard what Glenn and Yolanda were sharing is, you know, that your will and God's will are the same, you know, because God shares his will or its will with you. And this says your will is not the same. So what does this mean, that I am now arguing with what Glenn and Yolanda just said? And the answer to that is, of course not. What Glenn and Yolanda were sharing was referring to, it was talking to the true self. Yeah, your will is the same. It was talking to the true self, not really waking up the true self. This stuff is so, you know, because you don't ever have to wake up the true self. It's always awake. You know, but it's kind of like what they were saying is kind of like whispering to the part of the ego that's close enough to the true self, you know, like, you know, you could call it the beginning of the ego, that it recognizes that there is something beyond it. It recognizes that there is something beyond it, and that what is beyond it is at least the same as God, right? And so when we hear teachings that say your will and God's will are the same, it's talking to that part of the ego that knows there's something beyond it. When it says, as we're reading in NTI right now, your will is not the same, it's talking to the part of the ego that is, you know, way out there as a total independent individual, I, me kind of person, right? So it's kind of like talking to a different part of the ego. And in this case, it's really talking to the part of the ego that is willing, or at least beginning to be willing, to surrender. So maybe it's not the all the way out there ego. This is the part of the ego that is beginning to, for whatever reason, beginning to ready itself for surrender. It could be because of suffering. Sometimes when people just suffer enough, right, they become ready to surrender. It could just be because of an inner calling. You know, in my particular case, I was experiencing suffering, but I didn't recognize it as suffering. It was like stress and things like that, but I didn't recognize it at that time as suffering. I perceived myself as a happy person, but I seemed to receive a calling, like something in me was called. So for whatever reason that a person becomes ready to surrender, this is the point of the ego that this sentence is talking to when it says, your will is not the same as God's. It's talking to the ego or the point in the ego where we're getting ready to surrender our will. And so we're beginning to be taught that our will, again, is the way out there, ego, is not the same as God's. And it's so funny because one thing that's really difficult about teaching spirituality is that spirituality is really, really, really full of paradoxes. What's the most helpful thing to say at one stage in the awakening process is completely the opposite of what is the most helpful thing to say at another stage in the awakening process. And of course, as we begin to mature and as we begin to go through different stages, we can see the helpfulness in all of those things, right? But sometimes when a person hasn't matured very far yet, it can seem very, very confusing. Because again, it sounds like Glenn and Yolanda are saying your will are the same as God's. And then Regina comes on and says, your will is not the same as God's. And then somebody else will come on and say, there's only one will. Somebody else will come on and say, you are God. It just sounds like it all sounds like it conflicts if you listen at the word only level without deeper understanding. And so for me, this is what's really, really important about contemplation. Not just reading words or listening to words, but deeply contemplating words. And I would say usually alone, at least in my experience, the best way to receive wisdom is by contemplating alone. And it's through contemplating alone that insight comes, true insight comes. And then we look back at the words and we have understanding that we could not have had at the intellectual level. And the things that appeared to be paradoxes, the things that appeared to conflict, we now have understanding of what all of those words are trying to say, and there's no longer any conflict for us. So again, this particular paragraph where it says your will is not the same as God's, but when you lay your will aside and walk with God, you will know that you are one with Him. That's talking to that point in the ego where we are ready for surrender. That's exactly what it's talking to. It's not talking to anything else. It's not talking to the idea that sometimes people misunderstand, which would be the idea that your will is bad. It's not talking about that. It's not saying your will is bad and God's will is good. This sentence is merely coming into manifestation because of the stage of ego that is ready for and already recognizes that it needs to surrender. It needs to start letting go of self-will. It needs to start listening to something else, whether you call that Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, intuition. It needs to start listening to something else rather than the habitual thinking patterns that it's been listening to. And so at that point in the ego, these types of sentences are extremely helpful because they are encouraging the ego to make the decision that it already knows it needs to make. You know, it's already at some level decided to make, or else the sentence couldn't even be there. The sentence couldn't even be paid attention to. But it's encouraging the ego to go ahead and make that decision. So again, your will is not the same as God's, but when you lay your will aside and walk with God, you will know that you are one with Him. This is encouragement. And again, we're very early in NTI. It's really important, especially since many of us have, you know, been on the spiritual path for many years. We're no longer beginners. Sometimes we forget what the beginner mind is. But NTI Matthew is written to the beginner mind, the beginner spiritual student. And so again, it's encouraging that decision that's already begun, the decision to surrender self-will. And some of us can still use that encouragement, can't we? Some of us are still pretty attached to self-will. Does anybody else have anything they want to share on the first paragraph under chapter 9? All right, then. Do we have someone who would like to read verses 9 to 13? That's the second paragraph. Bill has pasted it in the room for us. All right, Doreen, thank you very much. The mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. Okay. Forgiveness is for error. It is your judgment that must be let go. But it is your judgment that has been your error. When you let go of your judgment, you will see what is. But if you hold on to your judgment, you choose confusion and pain. Let go and be free, or hold on and sacrifice your freedom. When I look at this, when I read this, and I didn't get a chance to contemplate beforehand this time, so I'm kind of getting the contemplation as I'm reading it, but for me, what I am witnessing in myself is how sometimes I'm hesitant to let go of judgment, that I still hold on to it. You know, but I see it now, which is different than it was before. I see what I'm doing, and I know I'm making the choice for confusion and pain. So it's always a good reminder. I like the last sentence when it says, hold on, or hold on and sacrifice your freedom. I want my freedom. So that's like, okay, that's a good choice point for me. Letting go.
Thank you very much, Doreen. Is there anyone else who wants to share on the paragraph that Doreen just read? I will say when I hear this paragraph now, I hear it in a much deeper and probably clearer way than I did when I wrote it, when I was the scribe. At the time when I wrote this, although I don't remember specifically, I mean, this would have been, I do remember exactly when this would have been. This would have been August of 2005 when NTI Matthew was written. So we're talking almost 11 years ago. And at that time, there had been almost no healing in my mind. A little bit of self-hatred had been let go, enough not all of it by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe, you know, if we're going to make up a number, maybe 1/8 of it with 7/8 still in place. But enough of it had been let go so that I could actually hear the Holy Spirit. But other than that, other than this tiny little sliver of healing, most of my mind was still completely unhealed. All of my healing stories are still in the future. They haven't happened yet in August of 2005. So what had happened, I told you that I used to perceive myself as happy. That was before I started the course. And when I started the course, there's this one section in the course where Jesus says something like, you think you're happy, but you're not. And this is the only time I ever yelled at a book. I yelled at Jesus and I said, prove it. Because I guess I had pride in my false identification with happiness. And Jesus took me up on that when I yelled, prove it. Because after that, something changed in the way that I perceived myself, and I began to notice my frustration, my stress, my anger, my hatred, my fear, all of these things that I had been fairly successful at denying, which is why I thought I was happy, they all became exposed. And so I went from believing I was happy to knowing I wasn't. And that's really the state of mind I was in when N.T.I. Matthew was written. And so when N.T.I. Matthew was written and this particular paragraph was written, I actually saw judgment in a very narrow way. I saw judgment as basically the judgment of good or bad. And that would include things like you. I might see you as a good person, or I might see you as a bad person, or I might word it as I see you as someone I like or don't like rather than good or bad, but it's really the same thing. You know, that would include situations. You know, maybe I think the weather is good. Maybe I think the weather is bad. You know, maybe I think, you know, just everything, right? I saw judgment as good and bad only. And so what I saw that I was being asked to let go of here was that type of judgment. And that's what I needed to let go of first. So that's okay. That's okay. I'm laughing at what Dances has written. I've never had that thought about you, Dances. Not even once. Now that I really don't see things as good or bad anymore, I actually hear the paragraph different, and it's still helpful to me. This time I hear judgment simply as making decisions. So, for example, if I make the decision that I am a body sitting on a bed right now, which is the kind of decision that people make unconsciously. They don't decide that I'm a body and decide to decide that I am sitting on a bed. That just kind of unconscious decision happens. But if I decide that I am a body sitting on a bed right now, well, then I am covering up truth, even with what appears to be a very benign decision. That's not a good or bad decision. I'm not saying it would be better if I was sitting somewhere else, or this is the best place in the world to sit, right? It's not a good or a bad decision, but it's still a decision. It's still a judgment. And so even after letting go of good and bad, those types of decisions, we still have additional decisions that we have to learn to let go of. Decisions about what we are and decisions about what other things are, even though they seem to be more neutral types of decisions. And this sentence, third sentence, when you let go of your judgment, you will see what is. This includes not only letting go of our heavy judgments like good and bad, but even letting go of the more benign judgments like body sitting on bed. And I love the course workbook, because the course workbook really starts by pointing at these benign decisions that we make. You know, that we think we know what a tennis shoe is for. We think we know what a cup is for. We think we know what a telephone is for, right? See, those are all those benign decisions that we make that covers up the truth. So there's a lot of judgment that we need to learn to let go of, a lot of things that we've decided, a lot of things that we think we know, and we need to begin to realize we don't know anything and that we're completely wrong about everything. And that's when we're really beginning to open up to the truth. Igor, thank you so much for waiting. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Hello, Regina and everyone. And yes, Regina, thank you for making parallels to Course in Miracles, because I was waiting. I was kind of doubting whether or not I should make parallels with the Course. But if you start doing it, made parallels with the Course, then I felt like, okay, I can share something too. Thank you for that. And these two last two statements in this paragraph from NTI really thank you, Regina. Thank you. So these last two statements: if you hold onto your judgment, you choose confusion and pain. Let go and be free, or hold on and sacrifice your freedom. And what it reminded me is this paragraph from Workbook Lesson 192 from The Course in Miracles, where Jesus asks us, who could be set free while he imprisons anyone? A jailer is not free, for he is bound together with his prisoner. He must be sure that he does not escape, and so he spends his time in keeping watch on him, on prisoner. And not only keep watching on him, to make sure that this jerk takes all he deserves. You see, Jesus is very mild and kind here, but we often, at least I, often think I want not only them to put them in prison, but to give them a good handle, the right handle to them. So the bars that limit prisoner become the world in which his jailer lives along with prisoner. And it is on the prisoner's freedom that the way to liberty depends for both of them. Therefore, hold no one prisoner. And what kind of the idea I was inspired from this paragraph is that this question came to me: do you pay your taxes to hell? Do you pay your taxes to hell? Because really, we are so, at least me again, I was so quick to condemn others, like to hate them and say, oh, you should go to hell, you jerk, you have to be tortured, And really, do I pay my taxes to hell so that I can send someone to this place, you see? Because hell is, hell, just imagine how much fire, how much energy it costs to keep the separation going, to boil all those jerks, to burn them, to torture them, to slice them, right? It is quite expensive. And someone needs to do it, right? Not everyone would do this dirty job, right? With blood and screaming, and it's a quite dirty job, so not everyone would go there. So who is doing this job? Who is doing this job? If you are not paying your taxes to hell, then you will have to go there yourself and make sure that this jerk you're condemning right now receives everything he deserves. All of the boiling, all of the burning, all of the slicing and stuff like that. And therefore, I myself will have to go to hell with this prisoner. And this, Jesus says, who could be set free while he imprisons anyone? Jailer is not free. So, thank you, Regina. Beautiful paragraph from NTI, and that's what I thought from it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Igor. And, you know, it's absolutely true that when we imprison someone, we keep ourselves in jail. And you know, I don't ever cling to a judgment anymore. I just can't. And the reason I can't is because that feeling of being imprisoned, and actually for me it was even worse than being imprisoned. It was like being hit in the head with a hammer. It became so acute that I couldn't hold on to a judgment. I can still buy into a judgment for a short period of time under some circumstances, but I can't hold on to it for long, because as soon as I buy into the judgment, the pain starts, and I don't have the energy, the desire, the willingness for the pain anymore. And just because I don't have the desire for the pain anymore, the willingness for the pain anymore, I have to release the judgment. And then when I release the judgment, I'm instantly free again. And I like being free. I like being happy, truly happy this time. So although I can fall for things for short periods of time, I can't fall for things for long periods of time. All right. Anybody else want to share on verses 9 to 13 before we move on? Phil has already posted 14 to 17 for us. That is what we're going to be reading next. And is there someone here who would like to read 14 to 17 for us? Wow, look at that. Now I want a party. Okay, Tony, you're first. I never saw so many hands go up before. Tony, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. Let go of old habits and old ways of thinking. They have not served you. To hold on to the old is to create a future like the past that is not useful to you now. Listen to my word. Hear what I say. Practice it. Then you will know what to do. Thank you. Letting go of the mic.
Thanks, Tony. It's good to hear your voice here in the sanctuary. And Igor is quoting the Course, remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were badly taught. That's a similar thought, of course. Ron's asking what page. We're at the very top of page 22 in NTI. So Tony just read paragraph 14 to 17. That's the verses. Does anybody want to share on this? Okay, Francine, the mic is yours.
It's a very short sharing, but what I've been doing lately is when I look at how my heart and I see pain or I'll see guilt or something like that, I just tell myself, I have a choice. I don't have to be there. I don't have to suffer like I have in the past. So I really look at it. I don't suppress it. It's still there. I let it be there, but I also focus on the choice. I am as God. I am God. I can see differently, and I don't want to be stuck anymore. So I just choose not to be stuck anymore. it. Thanks.
Yeah, Francine, at least in my experience, that's it. We have to be tired of being stuck. You know, we have to not want to be stuck anymore, and then we realize we have a choice and we can start exercising that choice. But if we aren't tired of the current condition yet, we probably won't exercise the choice we need to exercise in order to initiate the change. So we do have to become tired of the current condition. Igor, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And also what is really important in this paragraph is that, it was for a previous paragraph. Forgiveness is for error, this sentence in previous paragraph, verses 9 to 13. Forgiveness is for error. We have to forgive, apply genuine forgiveness that Jesus is asking us to do in Course in Miracles also, as well as in the Bible. And the whole trick here is that we are not, we don't have to, with what we think has happened to us is not true. Yeah, this is really important. Very short sentence. Forgiveness is for error, but it's huge underlying, huge background in this little small sentence. Excuse me that I'm kind of going back to the previous paragraph, but it is just so beautiful. Forgiveness is for error, that I forgive those jerks not because they are really there and not because they are really did something bad. But because it is just an error and it's just not true. In reality, nothing has happened, yeah? And this little quote from Workbook Lesson 134 that was completely transforming, life-changing workbook lesson for me, this sentence from here, the major difficulty that you find in genuine forgiveness on your part is that you still believe you must forgive the truth and not delusions. This is the trick, the whole secret to genuine forgiveness, that remembrance that all of this is just a dream, illusion. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Regina.
Yeah, thank you very much, Igor. And I'll just share one thing about NTI. Again, I really appreciate that you all appreciate NTI, and I really appreciate that some of you enjoy studying it very much and that you practice it and all of that, but most directly, NTI was my book. And what I mean by that is NTI came from within me, for me. So, although we're all the same and therefore NTI can be helpful for a lot of people, the primary purpose, or at least the initial purpose that NTI came for, was to undo this person that we call Regina. And NTI's focus of forgiveness is about looking inward at my thoughts and what I'm doing to myself. Always. So what this is pointing out is that if I do not change the way that I think, nothing is ever going to change. And like I said, when this was written in August of 2005, I was at the beginning of what turned out to be 5 years of misery, but misery that was necessary because it was a part of the undoing process. It was necessary for everything that I had denied to be come up, to be seen, to accept responsibility for it, to see the other option and to make another choice. But it all had to be done here in me. So that's what this paragraph again is pointing out, again, to a person who actually doesn't quite believe that yet. This is a person who at this point, although the denial has stopped and so now everything's out on the surface and everything is raw, I still think I'm upset because of you. And not you guys specifically, because I don't think I knew any of you then. But you know what I mean. Because of you. It's what you're doing. It's what you're saying. It's what you're not doing. It's what you're not saying. It's all your fault. That's why I'm upset. That's what I believed. You should be different. And NTI is saying, no, Regina. You should be different. It has nothing to do with anyone else. This is all about you and the way that you choose to think, the way that you choose to perceive, the way that you choose to believe. And you know what? Later, not yet, because I wasn't quite buying into it yet when Matthew was being written. Again, just the beginner here. But later, I came to say, thank God. Because imagine if I had to change all of you before I could be happy. I mean, all of you, there are, how many of you are there in the world now? 6.5 billion, maybe 7 billion. Imagine if I had to change all of you and get you to all be exactly the way I want you to be before I could be happy. Praise God that there was only one person that had to change. So that's what this paragraph is saying. You know, if you don't change, your life's going to continue to suck. You're going to continue to be as miserable as you are now. Listen to me, right? Listen to my word. Hear what I say. Practice it, right? So it's really a pretty powerful paragraph, and it's paragraphs like this that saved my life. Ooh, is that the population, Glenn? Look how many people I would have had to change if I went with my old way of thinking. 7,404,976,783. And probably those last three would have been really stubborn and would have kept me busy for the rest of my life. So praise God that the only one I had to change was this one right here. Any other comments on 14 to 17 before we move forward? Okay, then that takes us to 18 to 26. Who would like to read 18 to 26 for us? All right, Carrie, the mic is yours.
Guys, I'm so excited to be here. I just sort of fell into this group this evening because, I don't know, you know, I just like turned it on while I was in the car. And there was Glenn and Yolanda, and now here's Regina and NTI. I'm so excited. Anyway, and I love this paragraph. It's so beautiful. Miracles are not what you expect, for you expect only what you have seen. I am here to give you new sight. With new sight, you will see differently. You will see differently. Have faith in me and trust in me. Do as I say, and everything different from what you expect will be given you. And that, of course, everybody, well, not everybody, people know I'm a crybaby. Those of you that know me. So I'm crying. It's beautiful. And I think about this all the time. You know, the big miracles when things really shift, and it's when I'll just speak for myself, am willing to know that I don't know, and I have no idea, you know, what the answer is. And so to just get out of the way and prepare to be amazed. And it's such a beautiful thing when it happens that way, when I remember that I don't know, and that God's answer is always more glorious than anything my little mind, any answer my little mind would concoct, even for trivial things, you know. So, there is no big and small. So, there isn't any hierarchy of illusion or order of difficulty of miracles as we hear in Course in Miracles. It's just that, willingness to, you know, surrender and say, show me. I love, Regina, what you said earlier when you said to Jesus, prove it. Prove that I'm not happy. Yeah. Prove to me. I know I don't know, so show me. Anyway, thanks for letting me read that. It's a very sweet paragraph, so I'm going to drop the mic.
Thanks, Carrie. It's good to have you here with us tonight. Does anyone else want to share on verses 18 to 26? All right. I will just say that I think what there's three words that Carrie said, which I think really capture this paragraph perfectly. Prepare to be amazed. I mean, I think that says it all. Prepare to be amazed. So even our grandest imagination cannot capture what is actually being offered. But again, also in this paragraph is where it says, have faith in me and trust in me. And again, remember, this is talking to the beginning mind, the mind that in some ways is heading in the direction of truth, but for the most part, still is clinging to the world. And so, you know, there's still a coaxing going on, an invitation going on, come on, decide to listen to me, decide to trust me, decide to practice in the way I ask you to. So we see lots and lots of coaxing and invitation happening in Matthew. So let's move on then to verses 27 to 34. Is there anyone who would like to read this paragraph? I love this paragraph myself. Maybe I'll read it because I think it's funny. It's a good paragraph. All right, so I'll read it. The blind cannot see. The dumb cannot talk. And so it is healing they must seek. Know that it is you I am talking to. You are blind and cannot see. I ask you not to talk, for through your words you spread confusion. Listen to me and spread my word. By sharing what I give, you will recover your sight. Now this paragraph, I'm sure, is for everyone. You guys can let me know if it feels like it's for you. But yeah, yeah, Glenn. But this paragraph was most definitely written directly to me, just like all of them. But this paragraph is really saying to me, shut up and don't talk unless it's me coming through you. By this point, I had already been told that I was to write and to teach. Otherwise, in TI, wouldn't even be happening. So I already had been told that a part of my path, my awakening path, was to write and to teach. But Spirit is being very, very, very clear that I am never to write or teach from my ideas. Never my opinion. Never my assessment of what something means. That part, which we call the ego, but it really just feels like me, that part is to be still. And fortunately, when it comes to teaching, that's an instruction I've been able to follow pretty well. I don't teach from my own opinion. I don't teach from my own thinking. When I teach, the teaching just comes. And so that's good. That's good. That's helpful. But when not teaching, I can move into the personality. And then I can speak as Regina. And that also needs to be let go. And I'm actually working on that in a quite focused way right now. Right now, I am very much working on getting to the point where I never speak from Regina. It doesn't necessarily mean that you all would notice the difference, but I would notice the difference. Right in this moment, I'm at my mom's, and what appeared to be the reason that I came when I first made these plans, which was a few months ago, what appeared to be the reason that I came was just because she asked me to. It was kind of a, you know, I haven't seen you in 2 years, I want to see you kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll come. And so I came. But as you guys know, recently I've had a lot of retreat time. I had 2 weeks of personal retreat. And during that 2 weeks of personal retreat, a lot of shifting has happened. And a part of that shifting that has happened is a strong desire not to speak from Regina. And, you know, when we speak from the personality the most, is in what I would call casual conversations with friends and family. So what a wonderful, wonderful place to bring me, for me to start really practicing at never speaking from Regina again, but to my mom's. And again, my mom may not know the difference. I don't know that she notices a difference. I can't tell that she notices a difference. But I notice the difference. I'm noticing how interfocused I am, and how that Regina mind is you know, there maybe it's showing up and wanting to speak, and how I'm not speaking from it at all, but speaking is still happening. Mom is still being visited with, right? But there's something here that I'm going to call Regina that is being kept quiet. It's not speaking. And I have 4 days with my mom to practice this. And I'm really happy about this. I'm really excited about this. And of course, there are other friends in my life, you know. Lynn, Jacqueline, Francine are here in the room. They're pretty close to me. Carrie's pretty close to me. You know, and when I get with these people also, it'll be watching, 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 making sure the speaking is not coming from Regina. Because we can't let go of something and enliven it too. It has to be one or the other. Either we let it go or we enliven it. And so I'm really, really grateful to have this opportunity to let it go. All right. Does anybody else have anything they want to share on this I ask you not to talk paragraph? Shut up. Spirit says, shut up. Stop talking from the personality so much. Really, it's great, isn't it? Think about it, guys. Think about it. It's great. All right, Igor, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Yeah, it's really important also subject because Jesus says to us that our eyes, in chapter 22, section 3, he says, the body's eyes see only form. They cannot see beyond what they were made to see. And they were made to look on error, on sin, yeah, on sin, and not see the Christ in our brothers and sisters, but only to look on sin and not see beyond it and hate them and judge them and condemn them. And so these eyes made not to see will never see, he says. And it sounds crazy, of course, but Jesus likes to do this. And also in the manual section 21, he says that the teacher of God must learn to use words in a new way. Gradually he learns how to let his words be chosen for him by ceasing to decide for himself what he will say. So judge not the words that come to you, but offer them in confidence. They are far wiser than your own. And this sometimes happened to me, and I tend to think, you know, like the conversation is going, and I want to say something, just these words just come to me in a totally, you know, unrelated topic, or you know, completely different subject from my ego's point of view, and therefore I start judging those words. No, these are not related. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't be talking about that. And I try to, you know, kind of silence myself, you know, not to keep to the subject, you know. But if I let it go, and if I let the conversation go in this way, then it turns out it's very helpful to person, or we come up to some beautiful, interesting ideas that, you know, we would never thought we could come to this. And this is the way how Holy Spirit works, right? How his inspiration, how his guidance works. Because, again, judge not the words that come to you from the Holy Spirit, but offer them in confidence. They are far wiser than your own. So this is the beauty of this, I think. That's what I wanted to point out. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, in the conversations that I'm having with my mother, you know, there's nothing happening here where, like, I'm, quote, teaching her truth or anything like that. You know, this is just a mother and daughter type of conversation. That's why I said she may not even be noticing any difference. She might. If you asked her, she might say, yeah, I'm noticing a little difference. I don't know. I didn't ask her, so I don't know. But I'll tell you what's happening is that I am remaining extremely focused on awareness. I'm staying very much in touch with what I truly am. And I am checking within on what to say. And you know, it could be a conversation about my brother and his divorce. It could be a conversation about anything. But all of my words, even though they may sound very normal on the outside, all of my words are being looked for. You know, just like this says, the teacher of God accepts the words which are offered him. That's a perfect sentence. And then gives as he receives. All of my words are being looked for and then spoken. even though they just sound like normal conversation. And again, what's really important about that is that I'm not enlivening the personality. I'm staying focused in awareness. And that's what I'm really doing, right? That's what I'm really doing. Yeah. But we can't, like I said, we can't enliven the personality and let it go too. It's one or the other, so we have to decide what we want. Sober and awake, those are good words too. That's a very good description. Sober and awake is how I'm being. Although again, maybe she notices a difference, maybe she doesn't. I don't know, I mean, who would ask her? What part of me would ask, hey mom, do you see a difference in me? So I don't know. Unless she offers a comment from her own self, I don't know. Igor, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Regina. Another thing I wanted to point out is that when we really get somewhere, when this genuine forgiveness process is really starting to make the difference, and people, for example, people start getting healed just around you, just being around you, just in your presence, yeah, like it was with Jesus. There is a huge temptation to think that, oh, I'm so powerful now. I must be, wow, I'm very spiritual. I am the, wow, I'm the guru. I'm the woo-woo, you know, something. But it is the contrary. It's not because you became stronger and more powerful. It is because you became weaker and smaller, and the Holy Spirit's presence became more abundant in you, and it is the Holy Spirit's presence that makes all of those miracles, like healing the sick or raising the dead or anything. So it is in fact, what's important is to stay humble, to this humility and staying humble, very humble during this process, because there is a temptation to think, oh, yeah, I'm now something. It's very spiritual and powerful, but it is exactly because we shrink, we get smaller. The ego, of course, yeah? The ego gets smaller and weaker, and the Holy Spirit's presence becomes more abundant, and that's what makes all of this difference and miracles. Okay, thank you, Regina. Drop the mic.
Thank you very much, Igor. And we only have a couple minutes left, but we only have one sentence left in this chapter. So why don't I read this last sentence, and then that way we can start next week with chapter 10. So looking at verses 35 to 38. Again, remember I told you Matthew is full of invitations. Here's another invitation. Let me heal you, that your brothers may see your true health and be healed unto themselves through me, which basically is what Igor just said. It's like Igor commented on this before we read it. Let me heal you, Holy Spirit says, that your brothers may see your true health and be healed unto themselves through me. So through us choosing to get smaller and smaller or become what NTI calls the empty shell, right? And then we are just focused on being our true self, and that's all that we're doing, just being our true self and not trying to accomplish anything. We're not trying to wake anybody else up, because that would not be our true self, right? We're just being. But then through that, you know, Spirit can reach out through us and heal others, as Igor was just saying. So thank you, Igor, for your pre-comment. And I think that's it. I think we're about out of time. And I'm not going to be hanging around tonight because I am at my mom's, and she's sitting in the next room waiting for me. I told her I'd be gone for an hour, but I would be back. So I want to thank you all for joining me, and next week we will look at, or at least begin, NTI Matthew chapter 10. All right? Good night, and see you soon.